President Bush is back in Washington after his first big official overseas trip. He returned from Europe over the weekend with generally favorable reviews. Another major domestic policy victory greeted him at home. This week, the president faces another legislative battle. NPR's Cokie Roberts joins me now. Good morning.
Morning, Bob.
Congress gave George W. Bush his education bill last week, and prior to that, his tax bill. How impressive are these accomplishments this early in his term?
Actually, quite impressive. The fact is that these were the top priority items throughout his campaign for president, and he has now gotten both of them through the Congress, and getting anything through this Congress, as you know, is pretty iffy, given how closely divided it is, and now the fact that the Democrats control the Senate. But they're very different examples of how to govern. In terms of the tax bill, it was taking the Bush tax plan and pushing it through the Congress by getting the Republicans to sign on and finding enough Democrats. On the education bill, it was genuinely a bipartisan effort, with Senator Edward Kennedy of Massachusetts being at least as happy with it as the president. And I think that is more likely to be what you see in the future, because you, first of all, tax bill was the only one that you could pass with only 50 votes, given the rules of the Senate. You need 60 on anything else. And secondly, that was the one that was important for him to show everybody that he was in control. I think from here on out, you're going to see a different sort of legislative process.
Well, now the Senate takes up the so-called Patient's Bill of Rights. What's likely to happen with that?
Well, there's a very good example. Now, at the moment, it's hotly contested. There are ads on TV on both sides. There's a bill that most Democrats support that is sponsored by Senators Edwards, Kennedy, and John McCain. There's a bill that most Republicans support that's sponsored by Senator Bill Frist and John Breaux. So they both have Democrats and Republican names attached to them. The truth of the matter is that there is not that huge a difference between these pieces of legislation. There is a difference between how many people are covered and how much you are able to sue the HMO for, how much you can receive in damages. But I think, given the way it looks right now, the Democratic bills are the ones that are likely to pass. And then the question is, does the president sign it? And he was making noises in Europe that he would not do that. But I find that hard to believe. I think that anything that says patients' rights in it is something the president's likely to sign. And he is ironically blessed by having John McCain on the bill. The Democrats can't push it too far to the left and make it something that he feels he has to veto and still please John McCain. So that means that they can't just get the issue as opposed to the actual legislation.
So if the president is forced to sign a bill he doesn't like, he can turn it to his advantage.
Absolutely. Look, one of the things that George Bush learned while he was governor of Texas is that the person who actually signs the bill gets the credit. And he's happy to spread the credit around. He's happy to say other people are responsible for this as well. And I'm sure you will see signing ceremonies with the Democratic senators and the House members, John Dingell and Dr. Norwood all around. But in the end, it's the person who is the executive who's sitting in the governor's office or the Oval Office that is associated with the good things that happen and the bad things that happen. And he's well aware of that. So he can try to mold the bill, but in the end, he'll get the credit.
Does his emphasis on shoring up support from conservatives hurt the president with other groups he's trying to reach out to?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think that, of course, is his biggest problem in terms of signing a patient's bill of rights, that he could be offending people on the right. But he has so far shored up that base so solidly that it looks like it is giving him some running room. And interestingly enough, there were conservative columnists who have responded very well to his trip to Europe, despite his coziness with Vladimir Putin and the fact that there didn't seem to be much response to him from European leaders. That might have worked to his advantage, actually, in terms of conservatives here. But He is trying to reach out to other groups, particularly Hispanics. He thinks that that's the way to win as opposed to just tie in the future. And the truth is, on things like family values, school vouchers, all of that, that helps with the Hispanic vote. But I think the fact that he is being so blatant might be a problem. I mean, first stop Spain in Europe, and then saying we're going to stop the readiness exercises in Vieques in Puerto Rico, it's beginning to look pretty obvious.
NPR's Cokie Roberts.